Log Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? It is that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour. You caught us live. This is the one, the only, the K. Thompson Live Show. I'm Citizen Payne. My mother, K. Thompson, is on assignment in heaven. And welcome, welcome. We have a lot to discuss. We've been gone for last week. We did not come on the air. We had some things we needed to do. And we got a whole lot to talk about, y'all. We got a whole lot to talk about. If you've been paying attention in the news, if you look at the description of the show I put this week, America is at a crossroads. America is at a crossroads. And I say it's at a crossroads again because in various times in history, there have been these moments where people should decide which way they want this country to go. Forward, backward, crooked, straight. however many more ways can I say right, wrong, dark, light, black, white, all of those things that we're caught up today. And I'm beginning to wonder if the Republican Party has not gone corrupt, because it sure seems that most of the individuals that are supporting that, as I'm watching the news now with the sound turned down and saw this earlier, Lindsey Graham trying to somehow make some justification for what has been done, where the president, the guy in the White House, Donald J. Trump, or we call him other names, but we'll call him by his name because we want everybody to know who individual one is, has kind of acted like we expected him to act. But there's always new heights and new levels that this guy is willing to go for. And I guess he feels that the best way to do something is in plain sight, and I guess he feels that he's got so many people that support him, at least on his side, that he can get away with anything. But those of us that are paying attention see the pattern. I've been seeing it for a long time, and our eyes are not going to be shielded by what we think about him. I mean, you know, a lot of people didn't like Trump in the beginning, but, you know, I don't think a lot of people thought that this guy was either this criminal, corrupt, or stupid. And, you know, if you guys remember last year or something like that, when I would always be on the air, I would say I didn't think he was a racist, but he proved me wrong. I began to believe him and took him at his word. And I believe him and see his actions now that he is a corrupt, criminal tendency president, on top of being narcissistic and all these things that we cause him to contradict himself within the course of the same conversation and think that he is so high, and really this guy is trying to become a king. And I've said since for the last year or two now that it is a race, that as he's trying to beat people, to put enough people in place, enough accomplices in place to go along with his plan, to go along with his trading in America for his own personal needs, his own wealth, everything that he wants to do. And it is unbelievable to me, each step of the way, the things that this man tries to do. What's even more unbelievable is how the people continue to believe him. And unfortunately, it's people that continue believing the rank and file of the Republican Party that he's not helping at all. And it's clear that this is where the supremacy and the racism comes in, because these people would rather not vote their self-interest just as long as Trump sticks it to people of color. So I'm going to bring in one of our co-hosts here, Mr. Byron Saunders. Brother Byron, our resident historian, to see his opinion on it. Brother Byron, how are you doing this evening?
Well, my brother, you know, being down here in the cesspool of our political discourse here in the United States of America, 400 plus years.
You put it
years.
Politely. You said discourse. That's a polite word.
That's right. That's a very good polite word.
What's going on?
yes.
You're the polite one.
Well, you know,
okay.
It is, because you know, like you said, you wanted to be respectful of the office, and so I'm trying to be a journalist with respect today, so that I don't go off track. But you and I both know we've been calling this for over a year now, 2 years going now, with respect to who this person really is. He's a charlatan. He is He's a racist. And you know, they all 2 years ago, give him the benefit of the doubt. He's new at this. He doesn't know the system. Well, you know, he's perverted the system. He's turned it from a swamp into a cesspool. And ultimately, thank goodness, we have voices now that are speaking up, because Democrats have gone all in. And this is not a game mill any longer. This is all 10 yards. You're either going to move this person out of office with the information and the facts that have been gathered. We've got enough facts to impeach this person. Yes, you're going to find that the GOP will talk hours and until the cows come home about how this really isn't that much to be hanging an impeachment on. Well, folks, it's not just this particular incident with trying to pervert our election system, asking a foreign agent, a foreign government, to get involved with whether Mr. Biden's son, it doesn't really matter. The fact is, the way it was posed was to intervene illegally on behalf of the current man sitting in the office, and that's an impeachable offense. And as I said this a couple weeks ago, his art of diplomacy is a word that's being used, and I'm thankful that the journalists are finally using it. It's not diplomatic process. It's called extortion. He rules and tries to run a nation by extorting and bullying others to come along with us down his path of ignobility with respect to the procedures, the process, the laws, the breaking of the laws, really the shoveling manure all over our Constitution, and then goes to the United Nations and has the audacity to ramble in a speech that made no sense whatsoever. In fact, this is the first time I've seen a president go on ridiculously about what he wants the world to look like. But Nicole Wallace on MSNBC cuts away from Trump during the middle of his speech and say, "We hate to do this, but Trump isn't telling the truth." It's come down to that. This truth time, y'all. We're either going to find out the truth and deal with it and judiciously deal with it, or this empire known as the United States of America will fail miserably because it cannot sustain or withhold itself based on the house of cards.
Yeah, I mean, it's high time. And Nicole Wallace, to her credit, she really has given up on the party that, you know, she's one of the people that brought us to.
She's a Republican, so, that's right, yes.
You know, but, I mean, there's... And you know, it's interesting that you bring her up and we're talking about this, because I think that now is a time for a Republican like John McCain, because I really believe that he would be the one leading the charge, saying this is ridiculous, this man, you know. I didn't agree with 90% of the stuff that he was putting down. But let me, you know, just to recap, we could have been in this place already when John McCain was running for president. Had he chosen to take the low road when that lady stood up and made the ignorant statement at one of his town hall meetings and called Obama a Muslim and all that, and he corrected her and said he's an American who cares about his country. And that was a big thing. It might have lost him the election, you know. It might have lost him the election, because if he had used the tactics that this guy is using now, he might have gotten elected, you know.
Right,
but he chose
to
stand up and have some integrity, you know, and he was a guy that, you know, he fought for this country, and we as African Americans know that this country was based on a white supremacist system, and so his fighting the war to uphold that type of system was what it was. But when people, you have to respect people that are willing to lay their life on the line for what they believe, and that's what he did. And he paid the price for it. And he walked the walk, whatever you agree with. This is a guy who walked the walk as opposed to someone like Dump, who comes in, has the nerve. I don't know how any Republican could support him initially and from the beginning when he decided to denigrate John McCain as a war hero or as someone at least who fought for his country when he did everything he can to could to avoid joining the service. And, you know, when you have someone who lies in the course of one sentence or one paragraph, I don't know how you can continue to support someone that does that unless, you know, you have a certain objective in mind and you don't care whatever goes down just as long as your needs are met. And, you know, they say what Prince Machiavelli said, what the means justify the ends justify the means or whatever it was.
Yes.
You know, they do whatever it takes. And if you watch the press conference when Trump, who was all over the TV, you couldn't get away from him today because he needed to tell people over and over again, trying to do that old marketing technique, saying the same thing over and over again. So it sticks in the supporters of his minds, the ones who clearly can't think for themselves or are voting their hatred. When he was with the president of Ukraine, at one point when he said, "I hope you and Putin are able to work it out," and you have to watch because, you know, body language, and that's why you got to watch a lot of these press conferences and don't just listen to what they say, but you got to watch it all the way through because some people don't have poker faces. You got to watch people's reactions.
Right.
And if you saw the look on that guy's face when Trump said that, you know, it's like, what do you mean? This is the dude who's trying to take a part of our country away. We got to work with him.
What was interesting about the president's presentation at the United Nations
yesterday, to see, so I wanted to watch that.
His
rambling
the thing
speech
that you're right about. But you have to watch and listen to what he says, because in the point of which this nationalism and engaging conversations about border protection for all of the member states. He literally got there on the floor of the United Nations and engaged in a nationalistic diatribe of engaging and admonishing every member state for not protecting their borders against immigration. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's lost his mind, because you don't go into the well of the United Nations and dictate to them how to govern their own nations. You haven't governed your own nation properly, and then you're going to tell some other nations that they need to be careful about their borders and making sure that the immigration is not overrunning their government. That's what he was talking about at the United Nations, Eric. It was embarrassing. And other member states started to stop listening to him. They started talking to each other as they were, you know, panning the camera throughout the delegates' audience. You could see that several member states were like, can you believe what this person is saying to us on behalf of peace initiatives? No way.
But that's kind of the vibe of a rich dude, right? I mean, he speaks like a man who's had people kissing his butt all of his life, which he has, clearly, and he's used to that. So, I mean, why not act that way? I mean, that is, you know, what's that quote in the Bible that it's easier for
the eye of a needle,
than a wealthy man to get to heaven or something
like
that?
Yes, of course.
That's how this guy is, and that's how a lot of individuals like him think. I think the difference between him and the Bushes and all of these people who are seasoned politicians and people who have been in the process and those who have been doing basically the same thing but have had their game a lot more perfected, right, is that he's too stupid to have his stuff undercover because, clearly – the election was stole, or W and his brothers, you know, their people stole the election. Clearly, I mean, if my opinion and opinion of a lot of other people, 9/11 was, was not what they claimed it to be.
Right.
So, but at least they made attempts to do the whole smoke and mirrors thing. And this man is not either his ego or something doesn't allow him to even attempt to present the facade of doing the right thing or trying to do. He just is going to tell people what the narrative is, and you're going to believe it. And I'm going to say it over and over again, and I'll give you a little bit of the red meat so the people go off. And all those people that want to show up and just cheer and stand behind him and really don't listen to what he's saying, you know, and just happy to be in a room with the president. You know, as I'm saying that, you know, anybody that seeing a president live in the course of someone's lifetime is a very rare thing, right? If someone could say they went and saw a president here or went here and was able to get close to a president, that's a rare thing. It's just like, you know, Byron, when you see people on the news in the background, they're waving into the camera because they've never been on TV. And just the fact that they're on TV, to us, it's nothing unless we want to be on TV. We're going to get paid to be on TV. Okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that aspect, to see these people just in the crowd and not even really listening, I mean, we know how many the percentages of Americans that are not aware, really, of even how government works, and these people are gullible, and they're vulnerable to being taken advantage of. And then you layer on their racism and their hatred of everybody else that doesn't look like them, and their belief in buying this whole thing of the Democrats are socialists, they want to do this, and not understanding what they're talking about. You know?
Well,
certain elements of our system are socialistic, or at least...
And what he said in the well of the United Nations basically was to those countries that were political followers of socialism, he said to them, it'll never work. That system of government will never work. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to his presentation. Now, Eric, you know I'm a very spiritual person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And something that was written over 2,000 years ago, I want to share this with you because this, we look at the scripture and say, and you've heard this commentary, well, it's allegorical, it's really no truth to it, it's just old people talking, and it was a long time ago. But when something of value sustains for over 2,000 years in the written word, I think we better pay attention. This portion was written. This is text coming straight out of the Bible. This will be so mind blowing. This is what's written in Timothy, 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verses 1-6. Now listen to this. This is what Timothy wrote over 2,000 years ago about people of power. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins that are away from divers lusts." Now, that's written over 2,000 years ago. Who did we just define?
That checks all of the boxes of this guy.
he
checks all of those boxes.
He checks all of them.
And his entire crew.
That's what I'm talking about. Over 2,000 years ago, that was written about the last days and men of power where we are right now. Now, I don't know about the rest of y'all. Y'all don't know who you're serving, what God you serve. But all I know is this. When that particular truth can be reflective of what's going on right now, we better pay attention to that written word, because that truth is still the truth. And what this individual came into our presence right now, is a serial perverted liar.
That's right.
He goes around grabbing people's women's what?
That's
he
right.
He is, without natural affection, a truth breaker. He's broken all the truths. Truces
mm-hmm.
that the United States has made. He's a false accuser. He's blaming Biden. He goes pivots back to Hillary Clinton, wants to engage an investigation on Obama for what's going on right now. Incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good.
Doesn't
I'm
it say something in there about
this,
doesn't it say something about them doing things with their children or something about the young?
Well,
because if we look at the pictures that he used to take of him and his daughter,
yes,
he gave you the
yes.
willies. It gave you
I'm
the willies.
Serious.
Let's go on. I think that we got our other co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. I'm sure he's got a lot to say. The
oh,
news
my
man.
Goodness, Wayne.
Brother
yes,
Wayne.
Sir.
Good
is
evening,
Wayne
gentlemen. Good evening. Good evening. Forgive my tardiness,
yes, good
man.
Good evening. Yes,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah, I tell you, and we've waited a long time for this day to come, you know, and it's
yes.
just the beginning, you know.
It's just the beginning,
I am,
that's right.
Yeah, it is just the beginning, you know, but I mean, the deal is, I remember all those shows that we've done since the inception of this administration. People, you know, complaining, you know, God rest your mom, she will always get on the air and talk about, oh, we'll stop talking about him, you know, and to the point where it's just, you know, ridiculous, but... It's at a point now where even a blind person could see through the foolishness this man is capable of doing, and he does it with such ease and without a forethought of the impact of any. He doesn't give thought to anything that he says at all, and
right.
And even worse is his personal attorney, you know. Talk about two people who are just basically joined at the hip and should be with each other, you know, indefinitely. I mean, it just saddens me that there are constituents in our continental United States that support that agenda, that there were people dumb enough to pull a lever for them and still justify what's going on.
Right.
It's
sad. Right.
I'm reminded that all of these people are similar to those people in the 60s and the 50s that resisted change, that wanted to continue to oppress African Americans, keep us from having any type of rights at all. These are the descendants of those people. This is the lineage
right.
of those type of hateful, evil, vile individuals. And they hide behind acting like they want to be Americans. There's a country, they stole this country. And tried to drive into extinction the Native Americans of this land, and tried to justify it. And so the evil that these people do, and they've done all over the world, as they've tried to colonize every continent that they've gone into, and tried to murder off the indigenous people of the land, or cause strife amongst the indigenous people of the land, causing them to fight amongst themselves. It's evil that is always going to be with us. And these are the same individuals. They say, what, the devil will have you thinking that he's God, right, or something similar like
mm-hmm.
that will have
mm-hmm.
you thinking the very opposite. And I've been saying for several shows now, if not the last years, that the Karl Rove playbook was to accuse your opposition of the very things that you were doing. And that's what they're doing now. They're accusing the
yeah.
Democrats of doing. If you saw the idiot Kevin McCarthy, who I think he's just an idiot, and Liz
wow.
Cheney, Emperor Palpatine's daughter, you know, remember they call used to like to call Darth Vader, Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, but nowhere
yeah.
in no way in the world is he as cool as Darth Vader. He's that evil
no.
looking dude with the hood on, with a crinkly little face, Emperor Palpatine,
oh, my God.
And,
yes.
and his
God.
Spawn. His spawn was on was up in there today, and they were accusing the Democrats of
right.
of putting this putting our country, the national security of our country, at risk. They had the nerve to, and I guess what else are you going to say? What else are you going to say when your
yeah,
side is doing that? You have to point it off. That's what criminals do. Criminals point to the other person, the innocent person, and say that's the one that did that. Because that's
mm-hmm.
what you do when you're a criminal. You know, that's what you do when you're an evil person. You accuse the innocent of doing the very thing that you're doing. And it's really surprising to depths to which these people are willing to go. You know, this guy is clearly obvious. You know, they want to tell you, you know, like that the saying, who are you going to believe me? Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
Right.
You know? Right. You know? I mean, just yesterday, the dude, I woke up this morning. Just yesterday, the dude said, we're going to release the transcripts tomorrow, blah, blah, which I knew was a lie. But we're going to release the transcripts. Then I wake up today, and they're talking about we received a summary, a memo.
Exactly.
Like, you know, and I had like an Astro moment. I had like, you know, a Scooby-Doo moment, like, a memo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a transcript. That's
not
a transcript.
Not.
That's a memo. That's a summary. A transcript
that's
is when you have a stenographer in the courtroom. Yeah, I know a little bit. We know a little bit about scripts, don't we, Brian Wayne? We know a little bit about scripts.
Thank you.
That ain't a transcript. That's a summary that y'all tried to edit out and redact and then release it. And nobody even checked them on that. Don't
that's
even
right.
check them. It's
well,
like, first off, you said you're going to release a transcript. This is a summary. So you're a liar, but we expected you to lie.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know,
they needed time to get their story straight, and that's it, you know. And it's unfortunate that they've gone that far. But, I just really wonder, you know. I mean, I hope this is the beginning of the end now. I really do. But I just often wonder, you know, they've come this far, and he spun such yarn today in front of everyone. And the way he handles himself in front of the media – you know, I mean, it's such an embarrassment. But I just wonder, I just hope all those, you know, who are still quietly supporting his agenda, I just wonder if they don't realize the impact and the folly of their ways to have this blind support, to feel that he's invincible, that he can walk on water, that regardless of what goes on, that we have to follow this particular agenda. You know, the Lindsey Grahams of the world and McCarthy and all those idiots that basically sit there and just defiantly defend him. The Fox Network. I mean, and not everybody at Fox should be singled out, you know, because there are people there who realistically see what's going on. But just the fact
Smith.
You know, there's
Smith,
a guilt.
They give him.
Yeah. I give him props too, and Wallace, Mike Wallace's son Chris, and on occasion, you know, sometimes
right
I
on
wonder.
Occasion,
but yeah, but you know, I mean, it's just they need to have a balance just to have some legitimacy as an organization with some modicum amount of integrity, but it's the one who spin the yarn, it's those Sean Hannitys and Laura Ingrams and all those, even Bill, what's his name, who was there before he was fired. You know, it's all those characters that just seem to do his bidding and prop up an agenda that just goes on. It just seems indefinite. You know, these guys get away with a lot of nonsense. And the fact that he uses them at a news conference, you know, I don't know if it was fatigue today, but he was basically endorsing the network. If you saw his news conference with Pompeo and his financial guy at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was.
Yeah, I had to take a break.
I mean,
he was on TV a little bit too much, but go ahead, Wayne, finish your point.
You're probably right. You know, I mean, it could have been exhaustion, but just the fact that he did that. And it was all calculative because even when he brought those two on, it was like he was only going to go but so far about what was going on in the Ukraine because he didn't want to put himself in a libelous situation. That he didn't, you know, normally Trump would stay there an hour and a half for a news conference, and that lasted no more than 30 minutes or less, you know.
Mm.
So, he knows he's tried. He's treading water now that he's never been in before. And the deal is that there are people within the party who have quietly come to him based on what we're hearing on the news, on the air, that have told him, I said, hey, man, This is uncharted territory. You should not have handled this the way you did. But he publicly,
right.
he's so ignorant. He comes out. I mean, he's just not ready for prime time at all. You know.
Well, it's that arrogance, thinking that you can do whatever
yeah.
and say whatever. And, you know, he's like, don't worry about it. I'll go over there. I'll make it happen. And let me just riff a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone will say something, and he'll get caught. And I guess he, you know, people like that, con men and women like that, they depend on the audience being ignorant. And they depend on the people that are listening to them to be stupid. And when they're not stupid, that's when he attacks. That's why he likes to attack, you know, when reporters ask him questions that he doesn't like, you know, which he'll say fake news or that's not like what
yeah.
you do. Or, and then he gets a question he likes. Well, I like that question. You know, and to not even have the decorum, you know, you're president, man. You're president.
Exactly.
Have some dignity.
Yeah.
Have some
that
class.
Word gonna, he doesn't know
you
what
know?
That word means.
I mean, obviously he's the one that comes in the rich people parties and they don't want to see him coming because here comes loud, brash Donnie, you know, knocking over furniture, using cuss words, you know, drinking out the bottle. So, you know, it's just to see this guy operate, it's like, wow, you are really, you know, you're really a special kind of person, you know, and to attack anybody, like and be sarcastic with the young lady, the young girl from Sweden or Norway, the climate.
Oh, yeah.
Activist
that was sinful.
Sinful. Gives a great speech, this young girl, and says some sarcastic stuff, you know. I just called him, you know, there's a special word for him. It's just like a D. And you guys, and the last letter is K, so everybody can fill in the other two letters. But that's who this guy is. That's who they all are, man. And
yeah.
there's just the constant lies. You got nothing. You know, last week we went on the air. I wanted to talk about Corey Lewandowski. As he went to
embarrassing.
And you know, this is why people need to watch, because when they tell you, you know, you want to come and they try to intimidate people, they try to come with the attitudes, right, until they run into somebody who, you know, is going to give it right back to them or is not going to play that. In the neighborhood, we call it the chin check, you know. So, but, you know, the fact that when you see this guy and they say, well, on paragraph so-and-so, I don't have a report in front of me. I know you guys watched a little bit. When he says, I don't have a report in front of me, you don't have a copy of the report here, we'll give you a copy of the report. Okay, now, on page so-and-so, can you tell me where that is? And he's taking and he's flipping. Is it not obvious that this man is full of it? We're telling you, we're trying to,
yeah.
you know, he's stonewalling. He's acting like he can't find what they're talking about. I mean, if you watch the show, you get an idea of what's really going on. And to say,
I mean, he's no different than Trump. And even today, Trump, not to cut you off, praised him during the news conference for
mm-hmm.
his demeanor before Congress. You know?
The
arrogance.
And the guy suggested it's not my responsibility. Remember, he said that's not my responsibility. When they asked him, well, when you had a foreign government come to you and try to get you involved, didn't you think you should have told the FBI?
Mm-hmm.
The guy says, it's not my responsibility to do that. Yeah, it is your responsibility. It's your responsibility as an American, man. Aren't you talking about
you.
Make America
at
great again?
Least.
Aren't
yeah.
you talking about you want to serve this country and the greatness of the country? It is your responsibility. Maybe that's where the
yeah.
difference is between us and them, because we realize
mm-hmm.
the responsibility. People realize what integrity really means, what honesty really means. And to have these individuals thinking, you know, I mean, you can have that street mentality, hustler mentality, that old Wild West mentality where my gun or my power or my that makes might makes right. Yeah, you can have that if you want, but then you can't walk around and want to get all this praise like Dump said yesterday. Well, maybe I'll get a Nobel Prize for things. You know, it's like that's why I got to turn them off. And the closer I'm involved in the process, you know, I got to temper my paying attention to it, because, you know, it affects me. If I go to Capitol Hill and I'm walking around Capitol Hill and I see these individuals, I really got to bite my tongue, because I'm the dude that tells them about themselves. So I can't be so-and-so's cousin walking around popping off the cats. you know, giving the hard shoulder bump as I'm walking in the hallway and stuff. So, you know.
Right. You know, all of a sudden your family's under, you know, direct scrutiny because of that. It's unfortunate, but.
I mean, but this is what these people, they get, this is what they get away with.
Yeah,
they get away
exactly.
with because there's no consequence. They pay no consequence. Mm-hmm. And when there's no, just like these people are shooting down black people, there's no consequence for these guys. But I tell you what,
mm-hmm.
if an equal reaction started happening every time that popped off, they would think about it a little bit.
Of course.
You know?
And that's
they would
the
think
issue,
twice about
you know?
It.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the issue.
They
you
love
don't
themselves
want, you,
too much. Go ahead,
exactly.
Wayne.
No, it's just that you don't want to come off like that. You want to feel that the world is balanced, you know, but it gets to a point where, you know, you're almost prompted to do the eye for an eye thing. And it's amazing because I feel in some ways that I'm very naive. I had a chance to do an interview with Congressman Gregory Meeks over the weekend in Queens. They had a street festival, and a friend of mine invited me out, and I went for a couple of hours just to see what was going on, and I say all this as far as, you know, getting to my point about being naive. I still want to think that there are a lot of us who just are not armed, and even if you're
not
in a position to
armed.
Be armed, you know,
armed like
the
as
whole
in
issue about
your right
guns,
to bear arms.
Guns and all that. Yeah,
uh-huh.
you know,
uh-huh.
and you know, and the thing is that there are quite a number of us who are and very responsible about their
mm-hmm.
their ownership and their use of these weapons. It's not to
mm-hmm.
say that they're walking around or have AK-47s hanging on the wall of their homes and things like that. But, you know, it's just the double standard. It's the tax that people of color have got to wear and pay. Because of what we've gone through, you know, since the beginning of our time here, I'm watching this case in Texas with the police officer killing a young black man who was legitimately in his apartment eating ice cream, watching TV, and she goes to where she thought was her place. I mean, you're living there. You've been there more than a year. I mean, even though the apartment building may have similar, you know, floors that look alike, I mean, that could be said of any place, you know. But, I mean, you have to know where you're going. And
right.
the fact is, you know, and she's constantly saying, well, I had the wrong floor. But don't you know where you live? You know, I mean,
I
don't know. I mean, I feel at some point she's going to get away with that.
Well, they're going to try to let her off. I mean, I have gotten off on the wrong floor in an apartment building I used to live in, and the building I live in now, it's very similar, except I live on the first floor, so, you know, I know taking the elevator or whatever. But I had done that in the old apartment, and they did say, at least from the news, you know, because we know, you know, it could be doctors sometimes, that they,
uh-huh.
that place was confusing. A lot of people would get confused.
Yeah.
As someone who's an actor, right, and Byron could attest to this too. You kind of know when somebody's acting to a certain degree or whether they're a good actor or not. And she genuinely seemed shook up about it. She genuinely, from what I've seen, you know, the body cam footage and her reaction and hearing her voice,
uh-huh.
she genuinely seemed like, oh, like she was really shook, like you might believe that maybe she did make the mistake, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, there still is no justification for if you did walk in to his apartment and clearly he sees you're a cop, right? Why would he be threatening once you pull out your gun to him? You know,
well, that's it.
Why,
I mean, he's sitting there,
you know,
eating ice cream.
I mean, if he's sitting there eating ice cream, you know, and if you watch the clip of the defense attorney saying she comes in and she sees this guy, he comes up, he gets up, he's walking toward her, he's big, he's, and I just heard in my mind, he's black.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was the one thing he left out, but that's what he was
yeah.
implying, you know, and in a different time he would have said that, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, see, punishment must be exacted on her, you know, because
oh,
did she do all of the, Yeah. Did she do all of the things that you normally are supposed to do in a situation? They said that that's not the training. You're supposed to cover and conceal. And I don't understand. Even if you do walk in, like we just said, even if you do walk into the apartment mistakenly and the guy does stand up, once somebody sees you're a cop with your gun drawn, they're not really going to be coming forward towards you. You know?
But so, it's just a classic example of what tax we have to pay because we fit a certain profile. And that's the unfortunate thing. It could have been anybody sitting there. It could have been Stevie Wonder sitting there eating ice cream. You know, you're black.
Right.
You look a certain way. You know, you look menacing. Because your color, you look menacing. And right away, the first thought is to shoot and then ask questions later. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. And again, it is kind of gray. And maybe, and God forgive me, because perhaps she could be caught up in the moment. I know what it's like to work hard all day and come home and, you know, and forget certain things. But I don't know. I mean, it just seems to be a perfunctory act. I open the door with this key. I know I have in my living room TVs in a certain corner or something like that. My walls are painted a certain way, you know. Obviously, this is not my apartment, you know. But then again, inexplicably, I look at the serviceman who's now in court, you know, defending his actions with his two kids dying in a car that, you know, he had forgotten that he had, you know, driven to work and didn't drop them off for daycare. You know, a lot of this stuff is inexplicable. You know, I mean, it may not be a commonality or something that's exacting, but you know, it's just thoughtlessness that sometimes that creeps into our minds, and perhaps I used the wrong analogy with her, but you know, I still
maintain. Yeah, a little bit. but you know, I would submit to people that being that you have a certain type of job, there's a higher level of responsibility that you have, right?
Right.
And the fact that you might be tired after all day long, that's fine. But you know what? Certain levels of responsibility come with certain levels of employment, right? You're expected.
Yeah.
A little more is expected from you than a guy who's working at a regular 9-to-5. You're a police officer, supposedly what is used to be called a peace officer. A little bit more is expected from you because you're a leader. You're supposed to be a leader in the community. And I was just talking about this with someone the other day, the type of job that police officers have to do because, you know, they're the ones that are called when everything goes bad. They're usually not called when everything is going good. You know, and if you're dealing with that all day long, you know, I was talking about this with my former film partner, Butch Robinson, who used to work for ABC Local back in the day, was a cameraman, you know, and he described to me, they did a bit on Port Authority, the midnight shift at Port Authority, graveyard shift that the cops would work, and it was just so much craziness back in the day that they would have to deal with. You know, I can't say I wouldn't be walking around with an attitude if every time I'm turning around, somebody's doing something stupid, like you're dealing with a classroom of 8-year-olds all day long. So, and I understand that. Or if you get a guy who's speeding, and he's speeding down the road, almost killing people, you know, I might not mind if that dude gets a kick in the ass, you know, when we pull him over. But I don't know. I don't know whether he needs to die, you know.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's
or
the
thing,
you know? Yeah.
Or the guy, and the thing also is the balance, how it's treated, because we know usually people of the other complexion, when they do crimes, they're treated totally different than we are. And a perfect example, a heinous, murderistic crime, is Dylann Roof, the guy who went to church and killed the black people in South Carolina after praying with them.
Right.
And when they arrested him, they stopped and took him to Burger King. Because he was hungry. You know, this is the type of stuff we're talking about. So,
I mean,
you know, that's just stuff we can't fathom and stomach. I want to ask you guys about, you know, today, what you think about Meghan Markle, Princess Meghan, and Prince Harry going to South Africa you know, today they saw Bishop Desmond Tutu. But I was particularly struck with her statement and when she went to South Africa talking about I'm your sister and all these things. I like the job that this sister is doing as this new British royal. I like the fact that she's representing as a black woman, you know. And if you saw some of the comments she made to while she was at this one particular place in South Africa, I like the fact that she has not forgotten. She hasn't bought into just totally, you know, forgetting her other side because we know that she's biracial. But she seems to be truly aware that she's also a black woman. You know, and I'm just asking, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the coverage or footage about that, but I want to get you guys' thoughts about that.
I appreciate the Duchess stepping in her African diaspora. You may recall she fell in love with them in Africa, as they tell the story. So they're really back to a place where their love ignited. Don't be surprised if there's a new little one coming on board soon. Because as they said, she says it, they said that's where it started. Okay,
yeah, that's where they fell in love. They took a trip to Africa.
They were in either Zimbabwe or Namibia. One of the countries is where their romance started.
Yeah,
it was in Africa, and so they're back on the continent. And she is reflecting of a new idea of what royalty and privilege is, not just color based, okay? And that's something that Africa, and remember, it was in 1815, the Berlin Conference, which literally chopped up the continent of Africa and dispersed it. That's right. To the countries, the power countries that were on the planet at that time, Germany, Great Britain,
France,
you know, these were the colonizers. Belgium was definitely one of them. These are the colonizers, okay?
That's what
they did. They went and carved up Africa and decided, well, because we're the power of nations in the world, it'll be ours to take and pillage. That's what they did.
That's right.
And so now you've got the Chinese who have invested a lot in Africa, challenging Western civilization and the Western countries for the power and who's going to be in control of the riches that are still Mother Africa.
And
That's what's going on.
They're not really that much better. This has been going on for a long time.
That's right.
I remember when my uncle, Congressman Donald Payne Sr., was still alive, who was known as Mr. Africa. He came out to California when I was living out there because there was a woman that wanted to be a supporter of him. Obviously, as it turned out, is because her people were involved in Africa. And let me just tell you, he got someone hooked her up with him, said that this Jewish woman wants to hook up with you and discuss this and that about the Democrat, about Africa. He said, this Jewish woman, okay, goes to meet with her, look, finally meets with her. It's an Asian Jewish woman. She was Jewish because she married an Israeli real estate guy from California. And so she converted to Judaism, Chinese woman. And when I went to meet my uncle at this fundraiser that they were having for him in California at their house, it was that her family had just come back from, I think, Cameroon, because they had some business dealings in Cameroon. And that became clear that was the connection, that they were trying to do business in Africa. And, you know, they were supportive of Africa and things that the congressman was doing, and just were trying to work their way into that. And this was, as I said, this was, you know, I've been living on the East Coast for 6 years now, 7 years now. My uncle passed a year before I moved out of California, and this was about a few years before that, so close to 10 years ago the Chinese were in Africa on the continent working and developing the Cameroon and trying to develop the resources. But the thing was, they weren't hiring any of the indigenous people to work on a lot of these projects, right? They were hiring Chinese workers who would come over, and they had their little place that they would all stay together and they would work, and, you know, how'd they do, how colonizers do, take the resources, you know? So I would suppose that at the time they were trying to get some support and work and see, and obviously if they contacted my uncle, I'm sure he was telling them, well, this is what you need to do to help Africa, you know? And if you do these things, then we'll see what we can work out. I'm sure that he was guiding them to make sure, I know for a fact, to make sure that they weren't exploiting Africa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just interesting that that was part of their reason for, you know, wanting to be supportive of certain things. And maybe they were trying to do it the right way. Maybe they're trying to find a way, because I'm not saying that this particular family was doing the things that I heard that many of their other, you know, entities were there. But that was part
right.
of what was going on.
Right.
So it's interesting, like you said, you know, that's where all the resources, you know, life started.
That's it. That's where it all comes
the original,
back down to Mother Africa.
The original people are from Africa.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, also, you know, we got another 10 minutes. What do you got? I don't know if either of you guys saw the Emmy Awards. Want to know what your thoughts are. Byron, maybe you checked it out. You know, what do you think about some?
Thank goodness for Ava DuVernay.
Yeah. Mm.
She was the winner of the 2019 Emmy Awards, and no one even gave her an award.
Mm-hmm.
You think of, look, I want you all to think about this. And Eric, you and I are in the entertainment industry. There's a certain stranglehold on what is presented on Broadway, a certain stranglehold on what's presented on the theater stages, and what's presented on television. Mark my words, next year's awards for the Oscars will have more downtown, Downton Abbey nominees than anything that's done with respect to what's going on right now. Okay? That's because of the stranglehold of what's being given, recognized in award programs. I mean, the most real show of all things last year, with all due respect to Game of Thrones, that was so predictable, the ending. It was nothing new in there. Okay?
Never watched
but you
it.
Give me to. That, well, good for you. You were very fortunate. But to give me television that's got something to do with something other than flights of fancy into the realm of wish I could have, should have, would have been there into some virtual reality world, give me the truth. Because what we're being confronted with right now, the situation that this country is going through and what globally is happening, is people want to hear the truth. They're tired. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of the lies, the distortions, the obfuscation, the think about the programs that did get awarded. How many of them were based in reality?
Just the Central Park case comes to mind. I didn't see all of the awards, but you're absolutely
exactly.
right. You know. But you know,
I even hate to say it in the context of a religious group. But let's face it, let's be honest, who's in control of Broadway? Who's in control of the studios and the movies? Who's in control of television?
Hey.
Come on now.
We should call London Jeffries to come and tell her their speech.
There it is. And thank you. And remember, we just celebrated Pastor Wright's birthday from Chicago. Was he not correct about his assessment? Come on.
When he said, refresh our memory.
Well, with Pastor Wright, the former president.
Right.
I know you're talking about.
And he
declared
was silent
that
right after that.
Because basically what he did, he pointed the finger at a specific race, at a specific group, who were in charge and marginalizing everything else in this country, and they got on him and Obama and his Michelle step away from their spiritual guru. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So now we look at evangelicals. Somebody tell me which part of the Prince of Peace are they really following?
Following the one that was described in the Bible.
Thank you, because I just read you Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and it defines clearly the perversions of mankind and why we have what we have right now is because of individuals who were defined 2,000 years ago who were perverting mankind and the relationship between man and God. It's
That's why it's a bestseller, you know.
That's
still
number one.
But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There's so much truth in that document, and it's worthy of having, you know, going through the process of reading it over and over again and juxtapose reality with what's going on from what you extract from it. But the one thing I will say about, and this is just something just very basic. I understand your point about bringing truth to the screen so people could get. Sometimes you read something, you see something on the news, or you hear something. It's radically different from what reality sets in. And sometimes when you see it, you know, played out on the screen, it's a completely different perception that you have an understanding as to why certain things occurred. But I also think a lot of people look to these shows that are part of entertainment as an escapism, you know. So I think that's the crux that we face. But I clearly understand, you know, why such historical pieces like Central Park Case, and I see pretty soon Forrest Whitaker is going to be portraying the Godfather of Harlem. You know, I'm waiting to see what the treatment is with that. You know.
Well, you know, traditionally, what happens, I don't mean to cut you off, but traditionally what happens is that when we have too much reality in the world, like a lot of things we're going through now in this country, like you said, Wayne, the escapism, people want to see things to escape from the reality. So that's kind of why you have that. I just, you know, you talk about Game of Thrones and those kind of fantasy things. For me, I seen medieval stories before. I've seen medieval white stories, you know, that whole storyline. I've seen that before. I don't want to see it no more. So it's like, I don't want, you know, they keep rehashing the same stories and telling the same stories about themselves, where I want to say, aren't you guys tired of seeing the same stories of yourselves? You know, that's why to me, I'll watch a show with a white woman as a lead, with a woman as a lead. Because the men have had their stories told so much over and over again. Yeah, let me see what the perspective is from this white lady's perspective. And as you were referring, Byron, towards the other subject, like the gay issue, is I assume what you were referring to. You know, that is what it is for certain individuals. And, you know, listen, if someone, whatever people need to do to make them feel whole and sane, I'm not going to judge on that. I know for me it's not right because I'm who I am, but I'm not gonna deny someone else to be who they need to be and to be who they feel they are. The issue that I have and have always had, we got like 2 minutes, guys. I've always had is the balance, because at one point in Hollywood, all they wanted to show was one type of man as a reference to African Americans. And it was always seemed like, you know, obviously when you the image of gay people that was presented was less than. So they always would present the brother as the gay individual, indicating that his manhood was less than. And now, you know, you see cats, you know, like this guy Billy Porter who won the Emmy the other night and gave a fantastic speech, I thought, you know, and I've been in functions where I've heard gay brothers give some very militant speeches. So, you know, and I realized at that point that whatever helps our cause as a people move forward, everybody is welcome to make it happen. You know, you got Bayard Rustin as someone who comes to mind, who was part of the civil rights movement at the era. So, you know, it's just we want balance. You know, we don't want to present one image or the other. But we got to go. We got 30 seconds. We got to jump off. It was an hour that flew by. We're going to pick this up again next week because we're sure we'll have more history. So, Brother Byron, why don't you give the people your send-off as we got 19 seconds to go. Go.
Peace and love, always. Be the power. Now just talk the power. We are the power.
There it is. There it is. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Brother Wayne, go ahead.
Keep hope alive, man, and keep me in your prayers. That's all I got to say.
Yes, we will, my brother. Thank you, Brother Wayne. It's been the K. Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Citizen Payne. Love you, Ma. Listen to us again. We'll see you again next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.